Yeah, Becca, that's me. At that time, I think he probably was 12 and I probably was 14. 2 years later, he was gone.
Well, Reverend Wheeler Parker Jr., we thank you so much for being with us as you just got back from Washington for that proclamation, that announcement of the three-part national monument that honors Emmett Till and your aunt, Mamie Till Mobley, Emmett's Bobo's mother. Thank you so much for being with us. That does it for our show. A very happy birthday to Rob Young. You can see transcripts of all of our shows and also get video and audio podcasts at democracynow.org, as well as sign up for our daily news digest at democracynow.org. Or you can text the word Democracy Now, one word, to 66866, and that'll sign you right up. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for interns in our archive and development departments. Learn more at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Tune in to Locus Focus, a weekly conversation about our place on the planet, every Monday morning at 10 on KBOO Community Radio. Each week, host Barbara Bernstein talks with local, regional, and national experts, activists, and policymakers about climate change, river protection, the transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy, salmon restoration, forest management, and all the other things that are critical to protect our planet. That's every Monday at 10 a.m. on your community radio station, KBOO.
KBOO.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland here on The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the lovely Althea Billings. How are you, Althea?
Sitting down, happy to be here. How you doing, Tammy?
I am here.
We're here.
And I'm existing, I'm breathing, and I gotta be thankful for that,
yes.
If nothing else.
Yes,
also,
certainly.
People gotta watch their turn signals for
yeah.
the bike lanes.
Tammy's a bike lane advocate now, you guys.
I'm scooting around on these scooters, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not ashamed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if we were gonna say that you're scootering.
I'm scooting around.
Yeah.
Scootering.
I have a good video that I might put on our Instagram later of you zipping
I'm
away.
I'm zipping around all around town. Yes. Here we are at the show here at KBOO, The Gap. This is a two-part show. Usually we have either a news roundup and or an interview. And today we are doing a news roundup, and we're super thrilled to be here. And then the second half, we open up the phone lines for you to become a caller and answer our community question. And we have a really special addition.
Yes.
Shout out to April last week. I think it was April who mentioned that they don't have access to a computer and they'd like to know some of the free stuff that's happening this weekend. So I have a little list of that since I did promise, and we get back to that a little later on.
Yeah, Tammy put together a really nice list for you guys of things to consider doing this weekend. So we'll jump into that in a little bit. But first, news. It's happening all the time. Many people are saying this. Which story do you want to start with?
Unprecedented times.
Oh, brother.
Never going back.
Never. Do you want to start with the number one here?
Yeah.
Talk to me about this.
I saw that the DOJ, who's known for suing states.
Sure.
I'm raising my hand as a Portlander. So the DOJ is suing Texas over inhumane and dangerous floating border devices on the Rio Grande. And he's using some very inflammatory languages when it comes to human beings drowning on a river trying to get into your state.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Abbott, who's the the mayor, the, is it the, not the governor, mayor, the governor, Texas, excuse me. The governor there is, he's been taking some pretty interesting pressers on it, and it's just so dangerous. The devices are supposed to discourage people coming in looking for asylum or refuge or just wanting to come into the States. So it blocks them from being able to do that on through the water. And the device works in a way that if you try to climb over it, it has a potential of drowning people, especially if they try to go under.
A drowning device, they're calling it.
So the DOJ is going to has requested to start investigating and see what's going on there. I think it goes against the state law in itself. So there's a lot of the fact that I think Abbott used the word sovereignty, which that's never a good word. No, I mean it's a good word in theory, but in action.
Yeah, it's Well, and I'm just immediately relating it to this New York Times opinion piece that I was reading about the importance of public pools and how we've seen them decline. And even without putting quote unquote drowning devices in the river, like 11 people drown a day in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Because we don't have anything. Well, and this article was kind of advocating for congressional action to try to take on, you know, having more life jackets, having more sanctioned swimming areas so that people aren't just like jumping into rivers where they don't know what the bottom is going to be like. And especially, it's becoming especially important as I think all around the country, it's a hot one these days, and that people need that kind of relief. But we also don't have, like, not everybody knows how to swim. Not everybody has access to learning how to swim. And, you know, relating it to like the way that the government regulates seatbelts, for example, is like that this is a public good, that everybody should be wearing seatbelts, everybody should get a swim lesson. But yeah, this is some gnarly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Barbaric and cruel were used in describing it. I'm glad that, I guess, the lawsuit is pursuing. I would maybe want to see getting out there with wire cutters and sort of sinking it to the bottom before, you know, how long do we have to wait? But gosh.
They were saying, this is part of, I'm reading from this Reuters, I can't even make this up, Operation Lone Star, so in addition to the border barriers, Abbott's Operation Lone Star has also included the deployment of thousands of National Guard troops in a campaign to bus migrants to Democrat-led cities further north. So this is, people say the systemic efforts and anti-democracy systemic efforts, and people are like, what are you talking about? This is exactly it.
Yeah.
This is exactly it, using your power of authority to, it's not a pretty sight. And I understand that there is, Mayor Eric Adams, or, oh my gosh! Yeah, from New York. Everyone's last name is Adams, and they have a first name that's it's like Dan Adams, Ryan Adams, Adam Ryans. You know, like
people have stage names. Maybe they should take on politician names.
Like George Santos, got him.
Oh, I said him. You spike him. Go ahead.
He was saying that he was even saying we can't host any more people looking for asylum here. Don't come to New York. And it's like, it's definitely obvious that cities are dealing with some sort of hardships through this, but killing people on the water is not the way to do it.
Yeah, and I guess my takeaway is like, however low you think that they won't get any lower, they're going to keep digging.
Sure. Yeah, you know? I thought busing people was pretty bad. You know, this is like
flying people to
Remember Cape
Cod or whatever,
the image of Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, thank you.
And when they had the images of the, I think it was the Haitian refugees being like whipped on with guard police on horseback. That was like, that was a pretty low, but this is intense. So hopefully the DOJ will do something about it.
I mean, it seems pretty illegal. So, you know, I'm no expert, but
I'm not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer, and I've never claimed to be.
I do have opinions.
And isn't that the start?
But speaking of opinions and investigations.
Okay.
City Ombudsman. Ombudsman.
Yep.
Say that three times.
What the heck is that?
I did have the definition. I'm like, this can't be a word.
Hold on, I'm good.
Appointed to investigate individual complaints against maladministration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the def from
but
the
but not int- the auditor.
No, but they are in the auditor's office.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I was like, why don't you just call it auditor? What the heck is a budget?
You even wrote that down. You're like, they're in the auditor's office. Pay attention.
They are in the because it was, and it makes sense because they were, you know, in maladministration makes sense that it would fall under the auditor's office. But this report came out that a company hired by the city, the name of the company is out there and everything. I don't know. I'm always so like,
ooh.
Let's not.
No, this is like a published City of Portland report. You can say who it was.
It is a published city report. 1-800-BOARD-UP.
Wow. A company. Brave. Thank you for coming forward.
I looked around.
She checked left and right before saying that this company. 1-800-BOARD-UP. Go ahead.
a company. So the city. Ombudsman reports that a company hired by the city to board up buildings with plywood during emergencies around 2020 mistakenly or knowingly overbilled for its plywood replacement services 982 times, skirting the city contract and indirectly billing business owners and companies at a much higher rate than it was supposed to.
Once is an instance, twice is a hobby. What's 982 times?
Now, that's a community question.
Okay. What?
On purpose? Oh, no. System.
Oh, there you go. Systemic.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, listen. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on, you know.
Can't get fooled again.
Can't get, what's, Bush.
Shout out to George W. Bush. Okay, let's get into this.
So this was, the reason why this kind of came up is they, you know, they were getting a couple of complaints here and there, but there was a nonprofit that got bored up and then they used a service and then they got a freaking bill. And they're like, what is this? I'm not supposed to be paying this. And the bill was inflated as is. And then I think it went down from like 900 something to 200. I can check again in the article. And he wasn't even, it wasn't supposed, they weren't supposed to pay it. You know, it was right. The city was supposed to pay it. So.
So part of this whole thing when I was reading this article is that, so this company, so somebody calls for, oh, my window's broken. It's pandemic and I don't want my windows to be broken or whatever. Call the city. This person gets dispatched out there. They're like, yeah, I'll put boards on your windows, but you could pay the city who will pay me, or you could just pay me directly. But the city's going to add a 15% administration fee.
Mm.
So if you just pay me, it'll be faster. It'll be faster. It'll be cheaper. All of that stuff. Also, apparently the police parroted this idea. They also were telling people, it's like, yeah, just pay them direct. Don't bother with the city.
Oh yeah, that was another part of the article that they were seeing if there was like a hand feeding the other hand, or if it was more of like a because it's like when you got, you know, let's say God forbid, you know, you get a little bump spank. What do you call it when two cars hit each other accidentally?
Fender bender.
You get a fender bender. You know, if it's everything okay, you don't involve insurance. You know, just figure out between people. We live in a society, right?
Right.
But sometimes that's, you know, which I think most people would like to go that way instead of having their rates go up. But what about when, you know, that's just not the case? Because it makes total sense. I'm like, you got to pay an extra 15%.
Yeah.
And you got to wait. Well, I don't want to wait. Give it right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So the whole thing is just very, it's very disturbing. It makes me think of the, you know, like the, all the pandemic profiteering that people were.
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
The social media influencers that were taking out PPP loans, driving themselves to Dubai and doing all of that. I'll never forget.
There's one other point here that I think we got to touch on, which is, so the investigation didn't have a specific amount of money that they necessarily pocketed, but anywhere between $20,000 to $131,000 were potentially made off of this scheme. I don't know.
That's Tesla
alleged
money.
Scheme. Yeah, exactly. That's you know, that's some clear cash. And it also talks about how it's a failure of city oversight to have let this go on so long.
Then this is exactly what the, going back to the, I want to say the budmen, the ombudsman, the ombudsman, saying that basically that's exactly, you know, exactly what you're saying, that this was completely, it was city oversight and it was completely on the city's, you know, and it says, again, we keep seeing this pattern of the city not, you know, saying it's going to do one thing, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And but then somehow their money keeps getting, you know, I'm still getting taxed. So yeah. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, you know?
Yeah. Tammy's been calling herself an angel investor.
I am an angel investor.
Between the city of Portland?
Well, not to get political or anything, but between, you know, some people not paying their taxes, other people not paying their taxes. I feel like you and I are the only one taxpayers over here. We got so you, I, the probably the listener. That's called an angel investment where I come from.
Yeah, they don't. They want you to be a silent investor.
No.
Yeah.
Shh. I didn't pass econ, but if I could tell you one thing, this investor is not silent.
My silent partner in the city of Portland. Yeah, I mean, I make this point relatively frequently. But I especially think of it when I see, like, a city truck or something.
The city that works.
Portland, the city that works. And I'm like, oh, boy, I hope you're fixing a pothole.
Otherwise, they're working on it.
I'm just always, it shouldn't be that ironic, you guys. Like, it's really, I don't like that it's ironic. Does it make me feel good?
I'll tell you what about the pot. You know what can handle those potholes?
Don't.
Those little lime wires.
Oh,
on
the scooters. Okay, back to the scooters.
You know how many times I'm like, oh, I'm about to fall. I'm about to break my tooth. And It just slides right through it like it's nothing. Wow. Yeah, I don't know what they're made out of, but that's this is not, it's not like a paid advertisement or promotion or anything. I'm so impressed by them.
They made handshake deals with the potholes. They're like, you don't mess with me, I don't mess with you.
Whatever technologies, that's technologies like all tires in general should have.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're so small.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm not aerodynamics.
It's going to be a silent rest of the hour if we sort of try to think through the physics of that. Where do you want to go next? Do you want to talk?
City street response.
Street response, yeah. So the what's going on with Portland street response? There's like the manager left early July, and there was a hiring freeze earlier this year. Gonzalez stopped them from distributing tents and things like that, and OPB got the resignation letter and the exit interview.
That's from some journalism.
Yeah.
That is some journalism.
Shout out
right
Alex
there.
Zielinski, as always, but kind of getting into why the first manager of Portland Street Response, Robin Burek, left her position and what's been going on in there. there's a lot of interesting stuff that they found out, and just figuring out how, like, the administration... So Portland Street Response is within the Fire Bureau, and their direct person that Portland Street Response dealt with at the Fire Bureau left, and that job was left open, and apparently they were told to leave the job open. So then Portland Street Response is trying to go directly to Fire Bureau leadership, and they're kind of like, nah, whatever, do it yourself or don't do it at all.
It completely over. That's gives the vibes, yeah.
Yeah, and then they got a new person to be their direct director, and who sort of like asserted themselves and kind of took things over, freezing the program being able to purchase stuff. Mm-hmm. They said that basically Portland Street Response was not getting the correct approval from the city before buying things. Now apparently that freeze has been lifted, cutting communication between Portland Street Response and the city council. A lot of ways that kind of undermine the work of the department. And, you know, for Burek, the manager who left, you know, she said that she intended to, like, work there until her retirement. Like, she really believed in the program and, like, was pushed out by all of these different things.
That, when we were talking about the article, it seemed like the fire department really, or there is... For me, in my opinion, from this article specifically and other events leading up to this article, it seems like the fire department really doesn't like the idea of the Portland Street Response, or maybe not the way that they're doing things. Like, it seems like there's some sort of, like, intense disconnect, and it's, you know, and I'm just like, do they just really hate fire? Like, what's that? Like, what is their thing? And you were explaining how it is political because how they're going about it is how the fire union is going about it is similar to how the police union is going about it. Mm-hmm.
There's, yeah. And I mean, the Portland Street Response, which was, you know, championed by Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, like, this was an issue that I think was divisive between her and Gonzalez, who was mm-hmm. the one that challenged her, and that Gonzalez was the one that ended up getting the union endorsement from the firefighters,
right,
instead of Hardesty, who had been, you know, the commissioner for 4 years at least. So, you know, it's very interesting. There were also, I will say, 10,000 signatures on a petition to save Portland Street Response. Oh. for the city council. Good job, petitioners. And yeah, I don't know. There's, you know, we don't fully have a picture of all of the politics of it. There is, does seem to be like, I don't know, a hostility towards a program that works and is like closely measured. I don't know why.
You said one of the words to why.
What was it?
Measure.
Oh, measured.
Yes. 110.
Yikes.
It all goes back to measure 110.
Oh,
I
thought you were saying that they were actually going to see if they were being successful or not.
Oh, no. Oh, like measure success. Get out of here. You're talking crazy right now.
No, I mean, I think that there's like, you know, erosion of duties that the fire department and police have been doing that Street Response represents. But it's really important what Street Response does, and they've been advocating for getting more accessibility into things that were like entirely in like the fire department's like domain or entirely in police bureau's domain. But it's like the police and the firefighters also don't want to be doing the stuff that they've been forced to do, you mm-hmm. know, like Portland Street Response is where that stuff is supposed to live. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's money involved. Like, maybe everybody takes a pay cut if I don't think that's true, but like that's how they're acting. You
know? Say like money and maybe even power is involved? No way.
I mean, look, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but
there is a part where I think it was Gillespie that the person who's now kind of taking over or that
he's
was
now fire chief, actually. But yes, who took over the
Street Response and halted the goods. There was a part there talking about if you either don't do this at all or you let the fire department take it over. And I wonder what is their vision of mm-hmm. what the Portland Street Response should be. You know, like, you know, let us see. You know, I'd love to see it. I'd love to read it.
Yeah.
We'll get the ombudsman up in here, too.
Get the ombudsman in there. Guys, let's have a debate. Let's sort of compare and contrast the different proposals.
I mean, I would love that. You know, come right here in KBOO. Get Gillespie sure. and someone from the leadership of the Portland Street Response. And,
yeah.
You know, let us know. How do you see it any differently? Because if it's it just seems like... How are they really even allowed to flourish if there's so much obstacles in the way of them administratively? So mm-hmm. how can you even really measure the success?
Right,
you
right.
know?
Yeah, definitely. We got just a few minutes before we go to our second half here. Do you want to talk about this Willamette Week article?
I love the picture. Yes, I think you want to.
I want to. Let me read it. So, Willamette Week article titled, "A Turf War Between Two City Commissioners Has Political as Well as Policy Implications."
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Who declared it a turf war? I guess it was Willamette Week.
probably Twitter. I declare a turf war.
I declare a turf war. So, Mingus Maps and Carmen Rubio, two Portland City Commissioners, both have different ideas about how we should fix the permitting system to try to build more housing. And their proposals, you guys, they're incompatible. They can't both win. And they're also talking about this kind of in the backdrop of, you know, that every city commissioner has not ruled out that they're running for mayor. Mingus Maps is running for mayor. He's already declared. And that, you know, everybody kind of wants to have a political trophy to take into the election year next year. Like, well, I'm the one that fixed the permitting program. I think Carmen Rubio, I mean, I don't see her as especially likely to run for mayor, probably for city council. I think she would mm-hmm. probably run again. But anyway, part of the reason that this is so stupidly confusing is because of the way that city government is set up and that, like, permitting of different types is in different bureaus run by different people who don't talk to each other because they're under different commissioners. And things have been somewhat consolidated, but it's still bizarre. And so, you know, Carmen Rubio's plan is to merge all of the permitting systems together into one office. And then MAPS is like, oh, that sucks. I hate that proposal. And what we're actually going to do is to go through and just make all of the problems and inconsistencies go away, which I'm trying to find the quote on it exactly, because that feels like it doesn't accurately explain what it is that he was trying to do. But they've kind of been like snarking back and forth at each other about the ways that they're going to try to fix the permitting system. And, you know, because, I mean, it is not a great system.
Sure. We're seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, that it is not working out so good. But calling it a turf war is so funny and dramatic.
Did you find the quote?
Or? No, I'm still looking. Let's fight over who gets to fix a problem, you know?
This is like real... Real partition problems.
Yeah. MAP said that sifting through city code to rewrite pieces that are outdated or no longer relevant and eliminate duplicative and conflicting code. He told Willamette Week, quote, there are literally thousands and thousands of micro irrationalities. We need to review the entire code from A to Z with an eye towards eliminating redundant and conflicting code.
What do you think? Which do you think is a better idea?
I actually don't understand how those are directly in conflict with each other, but
you're saying like if there was a bureau that did this, then they could would be their action plan.
Sure.
You know, actually one is like a goal or objective or something, and one is the object, you know, like one thing feeds into the other, because, you know, having a united bureau looking over things and then having the same kind of like categories and the same index.
Yeah.
To make sure that there aren't, you know, like he said,
thousands and thousands of micro irrationalities.
I'm just thinking that's a lot of thousands and thousands and thousands. That sounds like a lot of people time, and sounds like if there was like a bureau that was, you know, tackling together.
It could be centralized and not like splintered between.
And then everyone's got their own definition of what's irrational, what isn't irrational. If there was just one, you know, have the commissioners thought of working together?
No.
For the good of the ideas that they have.
For the good of living up to the city motto, the city that works.
If you could change...
works together.
If you could change the motto, what would it be?
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's another comedic question.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, write that down. Maybe we'll do that next week. But I'm thinking of, like, do you make the motto something that's kind of like pie in the sky, this is what we aspire to be? But you have to be careful with that, because maybe we aspire to be the city that works, but it's like becomes really ironic because there's so many dysfunctionalities. Or
thousands and thousands.
Thousands and thousands of micro irrationalities.
You're being micro irrational.
You're kind of, it's a little bit micro irrational what you just said. You want to talk about, I don't know, I'm trying to come up with something. I don't know why that's funny to me, the micro irrationalities.
Because it's a silly thing to say. Because it's not just irrational.
Portland, the city of thousands and thousands of micro irrationalities. That's the motto. Because here's the thing, we'll live up to it regardless.
Rip City just came out of like someone just saying it in an interview.
Yeah,
so
somebody
like
just said that on the radio.
Thousands and thousands. That sounds like a poem.
Yeah. Okay. Call up the poets.
Put ChatGPT, type in, write a poem about thousands and thousands of irrationalities.
I don't want you want to talk about thousands and thousands of irrationalities. Talk about ChatGPT.
Boom.
Guys, they're not, ChatGPT isn't doing math right anymore, apparently.
Oh, math is hard. I don't blame it.
Well.
That's something that's more human than most people I know. So.
Right, but is the goal for it to be human?
Oh.
This may be a song for another time. Mm. Anyway, what are some final words about this, our little thing here about the turf war?
I think that they should work together. I think if anything, all right, if Mr. Mingus Maps is listening, working with someone on your team, like a fellow commissioner, if he's going to run for run for mayor next year, it could be a political feat. Be like, look, I worked or how they say, across the aisle or whatever, yeah. I worked with my fellow commissioners to make housing, like, to get rid of thousands and thousands of micro irrationalities in the housing codes in order to bring you XYZ.
We worked together to make them one big irrationality. With your help, put your hand in mine, we can merge them into something even bigger that doesn't make sense.
I'm saying, it could be a great, like, that could be inspirational. And I think maybe it could set the stage for, like, you know, maybe more, I don't know, positivity.
Maybe. I mean, also, we're looking at, you know, the change in the government system, like having a track record of collaboration rather than, hey, I'm ramming through something that nobody wants, or like, I insist on being the one person. Like, the current system, if you want to pass something, you got to get seven people on your side. If you want to be the mayor and you want to start moving things around, that might be something that is an attribute that could be helpful. I don't know that either of them necessarily have like a strong reputation of like, we collaborated and we did something and people approve of it.
This is their chance to do it right now. And this is on something that this matters to everyone, you know? Like, this could mean have serious repercussions for the housing crisis and people may, you know, for the city itself, for businesses, everything. So I think this could be a great opportunity for them to work together and get, you know, make the city that works work.
I love it. Well, if you are just tuning in, this is The Gap on KBOO Portland Talk Radio here on Friday mornings. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We're going to go to our call-in segment here in just a few moments, but in the meantime, we're going to do our musical midway song. Do you want to say anything about it before we go?
It's a little Sade Connor as a memory for tribute. Folks who aren't familiar, who didn't know she passed away. So this is just a reminder. Drink Before War.
Back in a moment.
You can see.
got your Orlok. Hello, we are back, and we got our Orlok here on KVOO Portland. Do you want to tell the people what Orlok is and what they can do with it?
If you are listening online or if you have our website up, you can chat with us.
What?
Chat with us directly. If you are on kboo.fm, there's a little thing on the bottom right side of the homepage that says chat with us, and you can send us a message, which is perfect for our call-in segment portion of the show. What are we having people call in about today?
Simple Dimple, Barbie. You heard it. The Barbie film recently came out last week.
We saw it together last
weekend. On Althea's birthday.
Yeah, we saw it together on my birthday.
We wore the pink and everything. There were so many people out. I was so happy to see people out, really, on a Friday night. Like, it was, like, back in the day. And there's been a lot of, you know, reviews and positive reviews, negative reviews, you know, Ben Shapiro just
spent two-hour videos burning Barbies.
I think they're saying it's as long as the movie.
Yeah.
He has the same amount of content as the movie about it. We were just wondering about your reaction to the film. What did you think of it? What was your reaction to the reaction of the film?
Uh-huh.
Positive, negative? Call in and let us know. 503-231-8187.
Nice. You can also message us on the website, or I mean, I'll get the Instagram open at The Gap Radio if you got Barbie thoughts as well. We're happy to field those. I liked it. You loved Alan.
I loved Alan.
Michael Cera's character.
There is not enough of that.
No.
You know what's really funny? I was driving to there in the Uber.
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself, you know, I was talking to the Uber driver, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, whatever, Barbie. And I said, you know, there's not going to be another Space Odyssey. You know, I said that to him. And funnily enough, the intro to Barbie, I won't do anything.
No, people know that. It's okay.
Oh, people. The intro to Barbie is the scene from Space Odyssey.
Yeah, there's
And I was like, dude, that is, what are the chances of me saying that specific thing? And then that I was blown away. But definitely, did I like it? Am I a grown woman who it was a film. I loved that people got hyped for it.
Yeah.
I loved that people got dressed up for it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that there's like a whole fan club around it that's parents and kids, you know, like,
yeah.
I love that there's that intergenerational connection happening. I really love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything around the movie, not so much the movie itself. I think in like 5 years from now, I'm gonna like it though.
Yeah, sometimes you need to let it simmer a little
bit. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny and fun. I thought it met my expectations of what it was gonna be.
Definitely fun, yeah.
And I enjoyed the dance sequences. I enjoyed talking about horses. I enjoyed the outfits. It was a real feast for the eyes. But if you wanna talk to us about Barbie, if you wanna talk to us about you know, the feminism of Barbie, because that's part of the conversation. The people who are like, we don't like the Barbie movie is terrible, it's telling women they should get jobs. talk to us, 503-231-8187. You can also chat with us on the website. I'm looking at it right now. 503-231-8187. Or, you know, alternately, what toys did you play with when you were a kid?
Because
I didn't necessarily have, like, a ton of nostalgia for Barbies.
Sure, yeah.
I played with, like, other stuff when I was a kid. I mean, I had some Barbies, for sure.
Barbies were too expensive.
You get the hand-me-downs.
Too expensive.
Mm. If you got one with new hair, that was like, whoa. Nobody took scissors or a lighter for these? It's crazy.
We'd always get, like, where I lived outside the States, so Barbie, anything that was American was just like a lot more expensive. So there was like the, you know, our country's version of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like exactly what you think. Just like, this isn't it. This is Parpy, maybe, you know? Like, I don't know. This is Farby or something.
Farby.
I did have a Furby. I would love to see. This is also call in if you'd like to see a different childhood toy be remade. Furby. Dude, Furby, that would be delightful. And I want, who's the guy that did Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh.
Not Nightmare on Elm Street. The guy with the skeleton and the girls.
Oh, Tim Burton?
Tim Burton.
You want Tim
Burton.
Okay,
I want Tim
Tammy's
Burton.
Tammy's pitch for a Tim Burton Furby movie.
Boom. If it happens, you know, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Also, I'd love if Recess did like a movie.
Yeah.
Recess, that was fun. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was a little bit more relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that people are talking about with the Barbie movie is like Mattel is ready to build a cinematic universe. There's going to be a Polly Pocket movie and a Hot Wheels movie and a this movie and a that movie. And I feel like that's the wrong takeaway, which is what made the Barbie movie good. It's not that it was Barbie. It's that it was a good movie. It was a good movie, you know. It had a lot of fun things that not just tied to, hey, everybody's heard of Barbie before. Mm. We should definitely turn anything anybody's heard of into a cinematic universe because...
Don't tell DC and Marvel.
Well, I mean, they know. They're falling upwards at this point. Sorry. You know, people are just a little tired of it.
Disillusioned.
I think.
503-231-8187
Do
is
we
want to
test the phones
one
real quick? You want to give them a ring and see if we're getting through here?
I shall give them a ring.
In the meantime, folks, you can chat with us on the website, kbu.fm. There's a little icon in the bottom corner that says chat with us, and you can type out everything that you're thinking about the good old Barbie movie. They're saying that it's woke. They're saying that it's anti-man. They're saying that, you know, it's a real skewering. And I don't know that the feminism really goes that far. I think
I don't know about all that. But I'll tell you what, the ending, it was like 10 minutes too long for me.
Yeah, Tammy didn't like the ending.
I didn't get it. I said, what is you went from point A to point W?
Yeah,
how did we connect
in the void? I don't want to spoil too much, but
I won't spoil it.
Won't spoil it.
It's for the cultural moment. It's worth it. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that people are finding meaning in it. You know, I think that's nice. You know, and if this is the introduction into women could be the president, and then you're like, hey, how dare you? Well, maybe you should be thinking about it. Maybe you need to watch it again.
Oh, that's where... are you saying that's what the people are saying? Like
people are not loving that part.
I don't know.
Issa Rae could be president. She was in this movie.
I would like to see her foreign policy.
But, Jamie says, I will not endorse that. All I said was could. I didn't say should.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, I mean, you know, or maybe some people think, but I don't think about how watching a film can impact someone in their future.
Yeah.
But I know that so much of me is made up from films and books and movies and music that I've, you know, like, we're all built of the things that we've been exposed to, you know, and the things that we gravitate to. So I wonder, yeah, like what would come from this for the young folks? It is PG-13 though, right?
I think so, yeah. There was this trend on TikTok a while ago. Sorry to talk about TikTok, but I think it's interesting, where people were sharing like the pieces of media that are sort of like instrumental to like understanding them. It's like, okay, if you want to understand my vibe, or like, here's what I'm about, here's like 3 movies, 4 songs, like 2 YouTube videos that were like really important to me. And yeah, my sister and I were joking about, it's like, oh, this would have to be on there. Like, we love this song. Or like, oh, mom talked about that so much when we were kids. You know, we're like, we love that movie. And actually, I can't go back and watch it now because it doesn't hold up. And I just don't want to tarnish it. And I wonder if Barbie movie will be that way for younger people. Because I feel like whatever you watch when you're like 14 and you're like, dude, so cool. Like, you go back a few years later and you're like, I don't know. I don't know if this was all that.
Yeah, or maybe you'll get even better with time, like Mean Girls.
Yeah, true.
That's a classic.
Sometimes you have to give it some grace. If you want to talk to us, 503-231-8187. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Phone lines are working, people. You can also chat with us online. In the meantime, do you want to talk the delightful schedule that you put together?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
The sort of itinerary for the people.
We have an itinerary. As people start calling in and in mass to the phone lines at 503-231-8187. I want to share some of the stuff that's happening this weekend that is all for free. So today, actually on Friday, today, you have the Opera a la carte the Opera a la Carte, which is a mobile performance venue that brings live opera performance directly into community spaces.
What?
Yes, right?
What?
And this is from 11:30 to 1 p.m., and it is very kid-friendly. I'm going to butcher where it's at. It's at Kanahumosquast Park, which is right there in 52nd in Alberta, like in Collie neighborhood. It's a really beautiful park, and it sounds like it'll be delightful. There's also the Skate Mobile, wholesome activity and delicious foods, free meals provided by Portland Public Schools. Skate Mobile's offering free skates, helmets, and full gear. All you need to do is bring socks. And this is, again, today from 11:30 to 1 p.m., of course, kids-friendly, at McCoy Park in North, right there on 46th and North Trenton Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Kickstand Comedy is happening tonight also. They recommend people to come there at 6. The show starts at 6:30, and that's Kickstand Comedy, free comedy at Laurelhurst Park.
Yeah, bring a blanket or a chair to sit in.
And food. Say. It is, I'd say, is a kid-friendly. Some spots are, some spots are not.
I mean,
it's edgy jokes. I wouldn't.
People might say a swear. So yes. It's up to you as to whether or not, you know, you want your kid to hear them say a swear.
There might be a swear, some references.
It might get a little blue, as they say in the comedy biz.
A thick cloud of cannabis might be in the air as well.
can't make any promises, can't make any recollections.
And as we wait for folks to call in and let us know what you think about the Barbie movie, about the whole Barbie discourse that is happening as I continue on with the list of events that are happening. There is the Fury Salsa and Latin Jazz performance that's happening at Alberta Park on Saturday. That's tomorrow, starting at 6:30. It's off 22nd and Killingsworth. Nice. And then that same day, also at 6:30, if maybe jazz isn't your thing, a celebration of Somali American communities, a cultural celebration of Black and African refugees here in Portland, East Boyles Park, east of Southeast 107th Ave and St. Francis. Again, that's Saturday at 6:30 p.m. And lastly, on Saturday also.
We got more. I just didn't print for you.
I forgot about you. Portland's really, really free market happening this month at Gateway Discovery Park from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And it is completely free. It's not trading. It's not bartering. It's none of that. It is free for you. And you can bring stuff to give away for free as well. And that's, again, Saturday.
Oh, nice.
From 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then this is amazing. Freaking Shakespeare at the Park. Get out of here. Shakespeare at the Park. Ivering Park. All weekend long. Starts at 7 p.m. Kid friendly, yes. But you don't say that shit.
Well,
situation.
I mean, they might say dirty jokes, but it'll be in Old English.
So they got King Lear, Midsummer's...
sex jokes. Sorry, go ahead.
And Henry the Fifth.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one.
It's there.
Gotta do one about all the Henrys, apparently.
They get sad if you don't.
Mm.
Again, that is in Irving Park, off of Fremont Street. And 7th.
Oh, we've been there.
Yeah. It's right by the Rose City Book Pub. And
shout out.
Free movie alert. Oh, my God. I touched Delphi. What is this, an Apple computer?
It's not. Oh. It's, like, deeply not an Apple computer.
Then there's the Hollywood Theater Outdoor Festival, E.T., the Extraterrestrial, which we got to talk about that, happening Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, we're derailing the rest of this.
8:45 p.m., Milo
MacIver
State Park.
Yeah, 8:45, so Saturday at 8:45. A lot of stuff going on this weekend.
All free!
All of those free things. Thank you so much for compiling those.
For sure, yes. I'm really glad that I did. We're doing a community service. This is a mitzvah. This is for me. This is for you. This is for April specifically, who said, I don't have a computer. I only have the radio.
How do I find out what's going on? April, if you need us to repeat any of it, you know, call in.
Yes, please call and let us know.
Should we talk about the alien thing really quick?
Okay, yes.
Talk to me about aliens. They're
there's a House Subcommittee apparently. And he said they're unhuman. He said not UFOs. What's the other acronym for it?
So they're not saying UFOs anymore. Maybe we can pull that apart. They say UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena.
It makes me think of thousands and thousands of micro irrationalities.
I just feel like that's somebody like giving, I saw a UFO. Don't you mean unidentified anomalous phenomena?
This is ChatGPT taking over everything.
There you go. Yeah. That was somebody in a thesaurus being like, actually, what if we called it?
But this was someone that was working for the agency that apparently said has the aliens and that he's seen some things that were very disturbing.
He said
with the
not of human
bodies.
Origin or
yes.
something.
And the whole internet collectively said,
it's like, okay, aliens are real. Do we care?
And I don't know if it's because a large majority of people already thought they were real and they're just like, well, catch up, mustard. Or if we've all been desensitized because, we're just overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah.
And these questions that I'm asking, plenty of sociologists are like, let me write an article. And yeah. It's like, I don't think it's that deep. I think there's just no trust anymore. And like,
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, show us.
Right.
What's up?
Well,
let me see it.
I think another thing is like, is there an action item? Did you need me to do something about it? Let me just read this tweet. This is from @Danlit on Twitter. And we don't even have time to talk about Twitter. Just found out aliens are real, but I don't even care. Like, okay, I still have work in the morning.
I know, that's right. Are you going to invade? What's up? Are you taking some days off?
Okay, we have April on the line. Hi, April.
Hi. I just pretty much called to say thank you.
For sure.
I'll be going to the opera today in the Native American park that I can't pronounce either. But it's a beautiful park. I've been there before.
Yes,
I think we should off-air investigate how to pronounce it, and we'll come back to you next week.
52nd and Alberta Street.
That would be really interesting. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
No worries.
Okay, bye-bye.
Lovely. That's
service.
That's awesome.
Community service. That's what we're here for.
That feeling I'm going to take with me to the rest to the middle of next month.
Middle. Wow. Okay.
Middle of next month. I tell you, it's a long month. So the internet didn't care.
Yeah.
It's like, does anyone in Portland care? I'd be interested. Yeah. I mean, we can also have that be a community question next week.
Right.
I'm just wondering.
If you're thinking about aliens and you want to talk to us about it, you can also call 503-231-8187. Aliens, Barbie movie. Aliens plus Barbie movie equals.
I'd watch that.
Okay.
I've already got it. I got the plot line turning.
She's mapping it out.
Aliens were actually, Mattel is actually an alien company.
Yeah.
And they created Barbie in order to, I don't know what.
Barbie's been to space.
Oh!
Right? She's an astronaut.
Sure, yes.
Are saying this.
We know this.
Maybe we'll have to do our spitballing off air. I don't know that this is great radio. I was just like coming up with a sentence.
Elon Musk would have to be involved somehow. 503-231.
I'm not actually co-signing that idea.
8187.
Well, okay, but maybe we could take one for the team and kind of, distract him with a project that's going to take all of his time.
He would love that.
Yeah.
Well, saving the world's problem. One minute.
I don't know.
I
really have to think about it. If you want to call, we got a few minutes left. 503-231-8187. Aliens.
Barbie.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, what did I think I was going to feel when I found out aliens were real? I guess maybe we thought that it was going to be like, aliens are real and they're here and they're teaching your algebra class or whatever. Like,
they're just like us.
Yeah. Or aliens are here. Go into the bunker or something. We may have seen a couple alien things.
Have you seen? Oh, you think so?
Sightings. That's like what I expected. But the thing that we sent off into space, Voyager, with the little gold CD that drew two people and they're like, here's how you find our planet and stuff. Is that what we got of somebody else's?
We got to have some.
Or space trash or
Well,
sorry,
if
I'm
it's
immediately
inhuman,
going,
I wonder. No, these are all good questions, and they won't. Answer. Yeah, I think we've watched. I'm thinking World of the Wars.
Yeah.
And then it's like, the president gets on TV from a bunker, and they're like, "We have aliens." Like, we weren't expecting it to be in Wednesday after.
We have aliens, and also that you could only find out by watching C-SPAN.
That's what they
the
went
revolution
wrong.
Will not be televised. The announcement about aliens will be on C-SPAN. and they put it in such coded language. Sure. It's an unidentified anomalous phenomena, which also includes like the Chinese quote unquote.
Oh, the balloon. Yeah.
They're like anything that is up that we don't know could be. So
I think that they need to apologize to all the people who they've abducted and or have did, you know, when people are like, you don't know what you're talking about. Aliens don't exist. All those people deserve an apology.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, fostered a lot of conflict.
Yeah, it did. I mean,
well-meaning people.
In the 90s, it was a big deal. Aliens were a huge deal in the 90s.
Like crop circles and stuff?
All of it. Yeah. All of the above. I mean, it was right before Y2K. I remember Y2K. My mom had so much water stocked up. So that's it. The planes are going to fall. The aliens are coming. Nothing, which was like kind of normative, you know? Yeah. Nothing happened. Nothing.
Gravity is turning upside down.
We didn't know what was going to happen with the planes.
No. But I mean, shout out to all the computer engineers that made sure that Y2K wasn't bad, for one thing. Because it's often treated as, you know, everybody freaked out over nothing. It's like, no, I think people like worked on it to make sure that whatever the clocks rolling over on the computers wasn't actually disastrous.
I want to know who was the person that started the whole Y2K thing. It was like the OG misinformation of my time, at least.
Right. Well, didn't it also like coincide with one of those ancient calendars where they were like, woo,
nice.
The year 2000.
I love those.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
That's what we need. We need
to resurface an ancient calendar that says this is the date that when aliens will arrive. Maybe they did come down in 2012 when I was at softball practice.
Do you remember? I remember.
Oh, yeah. We were freaking out. We were really worried about it.
Man, these are all, I'm really going down a rabbit hole of nostalgia, and I'm really, thank you, feeling really good about this. We have about 5 minutes left to the show.
We've gone off the rails.
We've done an array of information and subjects.
It's a little bit of balance, because it's like, yes, we'll be doing some community service to let you know what free events you can go to this weekend, and we're going to spend a few minutes talking about some alien conspiracies.
It's not even talking about it anymore, though. No. See, that's what I'm saying. We need that apology. Us believers want that apology. I want them to give it directly to Mulder.
Were you a believer before this?
Oh, I was always a believer, yeah.
Well, okay. Clarifying question. A belief that aliens existed somewhere or a belief that aliens have been here?
The first one, that
yeah,
they exist
I definitely
somewhere.
Believe
yeah.
that they existed somewhere. I mean, to me, that makes sense. I wonder how this will impact the crowd that sort of holds problematic beliefs that aliens, like, built the pyramids or whatever.
Well, we wonder. And we do have Deborah on the line. How are you, Deborah?
Oh, pretty good. I didn't see the Barbie movie, but I can tell you that if Barbie's mother was in a nursing home and she felt like her mother was being mistreated, she would call the ombudsman.
Oh!
Wait, say more. To call the ombudsman and then what?
Well, the ombudsman, certain ombudsmen are in charge of the local nursing homes. And then the...
Deborah, are you still there? Well, we lost you, Deborah. I'm so sorry to have to report. Give us a call. Maybe we can take the rest of your comment off air. We love the ombudsman callback.
There it is. Made it relevant for the girlies, as they said.
Yes, exactly.
Boom, now I know who to call. God forbid if there's any kind of mispracticing happening in a nursing home.
Maladministration, I think,
boom.
Was a word that
yeah.
was used earlier for the
this
ombudsman.
Is great. I learned a lot in this episode, I gotta
yeah,
tell you.
Yeah, yeah. It went some unexpected places.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Thank you to Sherry, our board
Thank you,
op.
Sherry.
We're going to be wrapping up here. As always, you can find us after the show online at kbu.fm / The Gap, of course, at The Gap Radio on Instagram. And you can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com.
And we have some great interviews coming up in the upcoming month. We'll have folks from Sisters of the Road on the show and other people doing great and dope things around town, keeping the movement alive, healthy, and thriving.
Yes.
Thank you all so much. Oh, what is it?
Well, I'm going to post the list of things that Tammy talked about the free events. We'll put that on our Instagram story at The Gap Radio if you want to see it later and you have the internet. And we thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week. I'm Althea.
I'm Tammy.
See you next time.
See ya.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
So, how much is that golden doodle or adorable Frenchie in the window? Probably a lot, especially in terms of suffering for its parents, who in many cases are living lives of misery in a puppy mill. On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll be talking with Robert Hensley, senior counsel for the ASPCA, about their push to pass Goldie's Act, a bill now in Congress that would ensure better conditions and oversight for the hundreds of thousands of dogs now suffering at the hands of large-scale dog breeders.
The dog that Goldie's Act is named for was one of the dogs that lived in squalor and tragically was allowed to starved to death over several months while USDA inspectors observed her deteriorating condition, but did nothing to help her.
That's on the next Voices for the Animals, Friday, July 28th at 10 a.m. on 90.7 KBOO FM. If you love animals, and especially dogs, don't miss it.